Arizona's governor has declared a state of emergency. 21 active wildfires have burned almost 190,000 acres across the state. As firefighters try to put out the flames, they are drawing on lessons from a disaster that captured the world's attention 4 years ago. On June 30th, 2013, news broke that 19 men fighting a wildfire outside the town of Yarnell, Arizona, had died. It was the largest loss of firefighters on a single day since 9/11. And the following day, I was covering the story from Phoenix for KJZZ, and I did an interview with Robin on this program.
More than 400 firefighters are fighting this blaze, and the weather conditions, as you mentioned, I mean, they're just terrible. Over the weekend, it was 119 degrees in Phoenix, just 80 miles away.
Well, New York Times reporter Fernanda Santos kept up the reporting long after the flames went out. Her 2016 book, The Fire Line, The Story of the Granite Mountain Hotshots, is now out in paperback. When I spoke with her when the book was first published, we remembered just how terrible those conditions were.
They were terrible, perfect for fire, and somewhat normal for that time of the year in Arizona. This is a part of the country that has the phenomenon of monsoons, huge rainstorms that roll through. But there is this period, usually around mid-June, from mid-June through the end of June, where it's still so dry and so hot that before the rain hits the ground, it evaporates. So you have the lightning from a storm, but you don't have the rain. So the lightning, of course, lightning becomes like a matchstick that you throw in kindling.
Well, the fire started out small. In fact, people didn't think it was a very big deal. The men go into the scene just like they were trained. Tell us who these guys were. Most of them were just in their 20s. They were fit, athletic. They had beautiful families and children. They considered themselves brothers.
They did. And that was, I think, the most interesting part of this story to me, or perhaps the reason why I decided to write this book, was that I wanted to find out who they were. These were guys who came from mostly from Arizona, mostly from Prescott and surrounding communities. They were guys who liked the outdoors. They liked to hike. They liked to do rappelling, go kayaking. Some of them had college degrees. One of them, Garrett Zupker, had a business degree from University of Arizona. Others had never gone to college, but they had one thing in common. They absolutely loved the job they did. Mm-hmm. It was an adventure for them. It was more than just, you know, a 9-to-5 punch card type of thing. And they very much trusted in the other to keep themselves safe and to do the job well. It's a job that it's not done by one person alone. It's always done by a team.
And this fire was remarkable because these guys travel all over the West to put out fires, and yet this one was right in their own backyard.
A lot of people in Prescott didn't even know what they were about because, as you said, they were always traveling. They were fighting fires in Oregon, Idaho, Montana, California. Interestingly, prior to the Yarnell Hill fire, which was the fire where they died, there was a fire in Prescott, which is surrounded by forest, called the Dosie Fire. And that was the first time that many of the guys felt that people actually understood what they did. And it's ironic that 2 weeks later, they would all die in Yarnell.
Something that we should note is that in the Western United States, development is pushing deeper and deeper into the wilderness. You write that 3 million homes in the West are in high-risk areas. I mean, was this something that the men ever thought about, that they were putting out fires to protect homes that maybe shouldn't have been there in the first place?
I'm sure they think about that, but I would like to think that they approached the job in a way that, you know, journalists approach their job. It's not about whether the story is risky or not risky, good or bad. We just go out and we do it. They did the job because that was what they had signed up to do. Of course, the threat to their lives, the risk to life, is magnified by the fact that you have homes now in places where homes didn't exist before. And with homes being there, you also have the pressure from communities, right? You have people who are saying, look, I saved my whole life to build this house here. And what a lot of people who have homes in what's known as the wildland-urban interface don't understand is that to stop a fire that's coming your way, you're putting essentially 20 young men and women with landscaping tools, shovels, rakes, pounders, chainsaws, and that's how fires get stopped. They carve the vegetation out of the forest. They open these empty spaces and deprive the fire of the fuel that keeps it going.
You know exactly how hard it can be to fight one of these fires because you actually went through some of the training to write this book.
Well, I never fought a fire, but I did handle all of the tools. I went out on the line. I dug fire line with my crew, the 20 people who were on my team. We were the Jackalopes.
How physical is it? How hard is it to do that?
It's hard, man. It's a hard, hard job. It is physical. It is brutal on the body, and it's also brutal on the mind because these guys work 16-hour days, 2 weeks straight with no break during the fire season. And they work all day long in the heat under horrible conditions. They might sleep out in the wild on top of the dirt, you know, in their dirty clothes. They may not see a shower for these 2 weeks. And that's why it's a job mostly for young people.
You get the sense that these men just wanted to be good neighbors. They were from this area, but they had so little time to respond in the end when they were fighting the Yarnell Hill fire. Just take us back to that terrible moment, their final moments in that fire.
There were 19 of them. One of them, the leader of the crew, Eric Marsh, was separated from the other 18. He had a leadership role in that fire, and they were communicating. And at some point, they made a decision that they should leave the mountain area, the ridge top where they were, and go down into a canyon that was full of vegetation that had not yet burned. In hindsight, it was not a good decision, obviously. First, you don't go into an area that the fire hasn't burned. You don't go into a funnel, essentially, because that's what a canyon is. Mm. But they must have believed that that was the best decision they could make at that point. There was a little town, the town of Yarnell, that was threatened by fire. There were calculations that had been made by people who were managing the fire that put the fire at about an hour away. And perhaps they thought, you know, if we go down here and we head toward this town, we can make ourselves useful and we can help protect this town. They went down. Eric Marsh met up with them. And the last radio communication that we hear the chainsaws buzzing. So they were trying. They knew that they didn't have time to make it to a ranch that was about 500 yards away. So they were trying to build what they call defensible space, carve out the vegetation around them to give themselves more of a chance of surviving. And what's remarkable in all of that is that none of them ran. None of them broke ranks. They stayed together because they believed that as a team, they could get out of it. They didn't. And they were found in a space of about 20 feet by 30 feet. Some of them literally side by side, shoulder to shoulder inside their shelters.
They died in their shelters. The heat was just too much.
It was too much heat, too much smoke. The human body can only withstand up to, I believe, 300 degree Fahrenheit. And it's believed the heat of the fire was up to 2,000 Fahrenheit. There was obviously a lot of wind. Some of the shelters were blown off. So the bodies had direct contact with the flames. So it was not a pretty scene. It was a sad way to die. And something that haunts the families to this day, because it's the uncertainty of those last moments that I think haunts a lot of the mothers and fathers and widows and friends who are left behind.
Well, let's take a look at the big picture here for a minute, because this book comes out at a time when it's getting hotter in Arizona and across the West now. The federal budgets to fight wildfires are pushed to the limit. It feels like to me that it might not be that long until we have to deal with a terrible event like this again. I mean, are people thinking about the safety of firefighters as we look at the conditions across the West?
Firefighters themselves are. The community is very concerned about it, has been for quite some time. But I think the general public don't usually think about how risky of a job that is. And it has become riskier and riskier because forests, after decades of policies that called for fires to be put out, shortly after they start, are overgrown. They're dried. Fire has a natural role in the environment. It's considered to be the forest janitor. It cleans the forest floor, so it prevents fires from going from the bottom to the top of trees, which is when they get completely out of control. So we have that. We have, as you mentioned, the issue of budget. The Forest Service spent half of its budget last year in wildland firefighting and had to take away money from programs that that are used to manage the forest to prevent these huge fires that we're seeing. Firefighters have died since the Granite Mountain Hotshots died. Three of them died in a fire in Washington State last year. They were all in their 20s and young kids with a whole life ahead of them. And you're right. It's going to happen again. It's almost inevitable. Fires are here, and they are getting bigger. They're getting hotter. They're getting more dangerous. And the way we still fight them is by putting men and women on the line. So we're going to have to make some tough decisions and maybe say, you know what? That fire is going towards a town, going towards a beautiful, somebody's beautiful home. Unfortunately, we're going to have to let that burn, because it's either that or putting lives on the line and losing people. And between property and people, I would pick people, you know, without any hesitation. And I don't know if anybody would pick property over lives.
Fernanda Santos, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.